Dog days of summer. Let's talk about the summer. Well, you know, when we, before summer comes, you know, when summer is on the horizon for most of us, I think we all, many of us, maybe most of us, really look forward to the coming of summer. You know, it's like a neat time. Kids who are in school, it's out of school finally, you know, thank God. Vacations for a lot of families and people, time to hit the beach, cookouts, ball games. I mean, it's, you know, summertime, usually when we look at it, when we're not there, it looks like a great time. But all I can say is, just remember last week, 100 degrees, right? And unbelievable humidity. And so the idealism of summer slides into the daily reality of having to live out the dog days of summer. Amen? And unfortunately, our walk with the Lord is very similar to that thing and with His calling on our lives. You know, let me take a couple of examples in the Scriptures. We know the story of Moses. And of course, Moses receives a vision from the Lord, a revelation from the Lord in the burning bush about his calling to go and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And even though Moses was reluctant to do that because of his own feeling of insecurity, incapacity, and so on, still seeing the glory of God in the bush really transformed Moses' life and really sent him forth to do what God had called him to do. And yet, this is the big yet, he didn't expect the Israelites to have such incredible unbelief in their whole experience. The Israelites did not believe him when he got to Egypt. The Israelites did not believe him after they went through the Red Sea and got into the wilderness. And in fact, the Scripture says that only two adult Israelites went from Egypt into the promised land of Israel, and that was Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses himself did not make it into the promised land. And so here was this great revelation and hope for future and so on, and yet Moses did not see what was over the horizon, the dog days of summer, the reality of actually walking out our walk with God and some of the difficulties that we all had. Joseph is the same way. Joseph had a great vision, a great dream, that all of his brothers and his parents would bow down to him in his very early life, but Joseph did not see what was coming. That he was going to be separated from his family, that he was going to be taken as a slave into Egypt, and he was going to be end up being thrown into prison for a few years and so on. He did not see that. He had a great revelation of the Lord, but he didn't see what was coming. And sometimes some of our days get so difficult in walking with God that we begin to forget our original experience with the Lord and our calling that God has on our lives. We tend to forget it because they get covered up. They get disguised by daily difficulties. Now, we're going to do a little visualization here. Now, don't worry. For those of you who are visitors, I'm not into the New Age. I'm not into all that weird stuff. Okay, none of that. But I want us to do a little remembrance. You know, this past conference, the theme was Zachor, which means to remember. And so I want us to do a little remembrance, and this is what I want us to do. We're going to close our eyes. Don't worry, we're not going to do anything weird, try to levitate the chairs or anything, you know. But we're going to close our eyes, and what I want you to do when you close your eyes is I want you to try to remember what it was like when you came to know the Lord. In other words, that first fresh feeling of knowing God, or maybe if you did not have a dramatic experience with the Lord, you certainly have had times where you've been close to God. And so just remember a time where, you know, God was really real to you. Let's just close our eyes. Just take a second. Let's kind of remember those periods. Just remember those incredible experiences with the Lord and what it was really like. Now, you know, I did this earlier, obviously. And let me tell you something about I remember. You see, being Jewish and coming to know about Yeshua and having experiences with God like this, that's fairly uncommon. And especially when I came to know the Lord, which was in 1969. But I still remember, and I've shared this before in my own testimony, I still remember that first time that I walked into a meeting and heard about Yeshua, and I didn't know what it was, but there was such a presence there. It was the presence of the Lord. Now, I didn't know what it was then, but there was something there, and I still remember that. That was 30 years ago, folks. That's incredible. That's why I have gray hair. But then I remember a few months later when I really experienced the Lord in a real way, when I knew it, and I was in a Bible study reading the Scriptures, and all of a sudden, as we were reading the Scriptures and we were sharing together, God's presence just came into the room, and I knew it was the Lord. And wow, it was just so, it was like life-changing. My attitude was like, what's this? You know, wow, what's this? You know, this is incredible. And then as the years have gone by, I've had different experiences. I could relate a number of them, but just not real frequent, but once in a while, where all of a sudden, God, it's like God just opens the door and he walks into your heart or into your room, and suddenly it's like nothing else really matters anymore. There's God. There's his presence. There's Yeshua. And it really changes our lives. And yet, remember, I want us to keep remembering, don't keep your eyes closed, but just remember, when you saw the Lord in that way or experienced him in that way, how clear things looked at that time, but then how foggy things have gotten ever since. Amen? It'd be nice to always have that kind of almost vision-like experience all the time, but that's not the way we live. And a lot of times, even right now, it's different for us. Even what we're living through, it's different than what we expected. It's like, wait a minute, God, where are the promises? Where are all these things that you promised us on? We kind of wonder, like, what's happened here? And the question is, was the experience that you had, was it real? Was it true? Or was it just some emotional high? All I can tell you, folks, is the experience was true. It was absolutely true because God is real. But you may have hit some dog days, right? Some dog days. Now, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, verse 17, the scripture we read before. By the way, folks, you'll be pleased to know, this is incredible, that I was given a new Bible while I was out there. But it's a slightly different translation, so I used to study, but this I used to speak from. So anyway, I don't have to fumble around at home, because this one's falling apart. Colossians 4:17. This is what it says. It's a strange verse. Okay, it says, "Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the work you have received in the Lord." Now, this is a real interesting comment, and we're going to examine it in just a second. But before we examine the comment, we need to figure out who's this Archippus guy. Because it's important to know who he is, because then the scripture makes even more sense. Okay? Now, let's get the background of what Paul's writing here. Paul's writing a letter to the believers in Colossae. Okay? Colossae is a city in Asia Minor, today present-day Turkey, like central or western Turkey. And in these congregations there, it was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles in that congregation. Now, the biggest issue facing this congregation was the heresy called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism, real strange view, but these are some of the views of Gnosticism. There's a whole bunch of them. Number one, they do not believe that Yeshua was divine. They were very big into revelations and into dreams and visions, okay, of angels and all kinds of supernatural kinds of things. They were really big into that. They also believed that the spiritual world and the material world are separate. The spiritual is positive and good. And the material world is evil and bad, okay? Some of this has crept into the faith walk, which is not true, because everything that God creates is good, amen? Okay, that means the material is good. Now, what man does with it doesn't mean it's good, but God, what God creates is always good. He doesn't create anything bad. And so that's just garbage, that this Gnosticism stuff. But that's what Paul's addressing in this letter. Now, the question, though, is who is this guy, Archippus? Okay, we want to find out who he is. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at how Paul introduces this letter, who he's writing it to. Colossians 1, verse 3. Colossians 1, verse 3. Says this: "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in the Messiah Yeshua and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all of its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, a dear fellow servant who was a faithful minister of the Messiah on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." Now, the gospel to the city was not preached by Paul, but rather it was by a guy by the name of Epaphras who was from Colossae and who got saved somewhere along the line. And he preached to the city, and they've developed a congregation in that city. The question is, we still haven't come to who's Archippus. So let's go back to Colossians 4, and look at verse 7. Colossians 4, verse 7. And then it says this, Colossians 4, 7. Tychius, strange names them all, will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. Now, Onesimus, that name occurs somewhere else. Who can tell me where Onesimus occurs? In Philemon, that's right. In the book of Philemon, Onesimus is a slave. He was a slave that lived in the home of Philemon. And he left, he ran away, he comes to know the Lord, and then according to the book of Philemon, Paul's sending him back to his home, and they're asking, Paul's asking Philemon to accept him back as a brother in the Lord. Not no longer as a slave, but as a brother in the Lord. And notice, though, in the Colossians, what we just read here, in the book of Colossians, Paul's indicating that he's sending Onesimus back to you, which means that Philemon, guess what, lives in Colossae, right? Because he's writing to the Colossians, and he's saying he's coming back to where he came from, so Philemon was in Colossae. Now, let's look in Philemon, because this is where Archippus arises again, okay? Philemon, just before Hebrews, not a real popular book, but it's in there. Philemon, verse 1 and 2. Because this is where we see Archippus again. Philemon, just before Hebrews. Paul, a prisoner of the Messiah, Yeshua, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the congregation that meets in your home. Now, it's interesting. These are very important verses. And the reason that these are important, who are these people? Philemon and this sister named Apphia and Archippus, is they are the leaders of the congregation in Colossae. That's who he's writing the letter to. In fact, this letter could have been entitled Archippus and not Philemon, because the titles did not come from Paul. The writings came from Paul, but the title was thrown in there later. This letter was written to Archippus. It could have been the letter of Archippus as just as well, because it was written to this guy. He was a leader in the congregation. And in this passage, Archippus is described as a fellow soldier of the Lord. Now, a soldier, we all know what a soldier is. It's someone who is dedicated, a dedicated servant to a higher cause. Usually, soldier means in the military. They are dedicated, they are regimented, they are disciplined, they are a servant to a higher cause, usually the military. In this case, a soldier to the Lord. But then in verse 7, Colossians 4:17, let's go back to there for a second. Colossians 4:17, let's see specifically what Paul says to Archippus here, because he has a note to him. You see, Paul writes the letter to the whole congregation, but he has a special note to Archippus, who's one of the leaders, and he says this, verse 17, see to it that you complete the work that you've received in the Lord. Now, he's instructing this guy, Archippus, to complete the work of God. And let's try to imagine a little bit what this guy was going through and what he was like. Okay, first of all, Archippus was probably one of the first believers in Colossae, in the city. And he saw the power of God work, and he worked for the Lord in the city, and he was raised up to leadership in the congregation, in the synagogue at that time. He was raised to leadership. But now, the dog days of summer have hit Archippus. That's what's really happened here. It doesn't say that, but that's basically what's happened. Because when you read Colossae, what you see is that's kind of a weird bunch. You know, they're into strange visions and dreams and worshiping of angels and all this other kind of bizarre stuff. They had been contaminated by a heresy of sorts, and Archippus is probably struggling with the people. He's probably going like, man, you know, this is not the way it started out. This is not the way God intended it. This is getting to be a bit of a bummer. And you know what? He may have wanted to quit. Now, I'm not going to ask for any raise of hands here, but I wonder how many of us would have thought about in the past that we'd like to quit serving the Lord. I'll raise my hand. There's been times. Sometimes it's a little tough, right? Because what's happened is the romantic view of the believing life comes into contact with reality. Turn with me to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Now, Matthew 17 was definitely a highlight for Yeshua's disciples, but we want to look at it a little more closely. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Yeshua took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Yeshua. Peter said to Yeshua, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to them. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Yeshua came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Yeshua. As they were coming down the mountain, I want you to repeat that with me. Say, "As they were coming down the mountain." Okay? Let's say it again. "As they were coming down the mountain." Okay? Yeshua instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Yeshua replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything that they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." You know, here are the 3 disciples of Yeshua. They've seen great miracles throughout much of his life, and all of a sudden they're on the mountain, and they see Yeshua transfigured before him. They see him in his divine state for the first time. It's like he was standing beside the right hand of God right then. And it's like, all of a sudden, yes, wow, let's build some shelters up here. Man, let's hang out. This is phenomenal. I could live up here for the rest of my life. This is great. This is hope. Yes, we don't have to do this anymore. It's great. But guess what, folks? The reality is down the mountain, right? That on the mountain was just a short period, but the reality was down the mountain. And you know it was down the mountain? Down the mountain was the death of Yeshua. That was what the down the mountain was. But it's that death that then came resurrection. See, because death always produces life. That's the whole point. His death produces the mountaintop experience that anybody can have who believes in Yeshua. That's the blessing. And we get, now get this, we receive our highs in God to work in the valley. Hear me now, okay? We receive our highs in God so that we can work in the valley. Now, why am I talking about this? Because many of us here may have had some great salvation experiences. You know, something that you remembered even while we were here. Some of you here may have had a visions of how you believed God was going to use you in the future. He may have spoken to you or showed you, or you had a sense of what the Lord was going to do for you as the future came in. But then things aren't turning out quite the way you expected. And now all of a sudden it's like, man, what's going on here? Now I have 2 responses to that. The first response is God is faithful who promised, okay? And the scripture says that he who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of the Messiah, Yeshua. You see, God is faithful. He is going to do what he said he was going to do in your life. But, here's the but, and this is the second response. It's to see to it, like Paul spoke to Archippus, it's to see to it that you complete the work that you have received in the Lord. Folks, it's a two-way street. You see? It's God and it's you. He is faithful and he will bring about his promises, but the question is, will you be faithful? Will you follow through on what God wants to do? That's what the issue is. You see, it's two ways. You say, but I'm not sure where I am right now, you know? Am I fulfilling God's call in my life or am I missing it? Have I just gone off track completely? It's not at all like the way I saw it was going to be. What's going on? I mean, you know, I don't know what to do now. Now, hear me now. This is what Yeshua says. He says this, to follow me, you must put your hand to the plow and not look back, okay? To follow me, you must put your hands to the plow and not look back. Not to look back. Hands to the plow and not look back. Now, how many farmers? Do we have any farmers in here? Got any farmers? No farmers. Where are the farmers when we need them? All right. Well, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a gardener. I don't like working in the yard. But I have seen farmers, okay? Even though they may be an extinct part of the human race. Okay, there was farmers at one time. Of course, after this drought, there's going to be less. But that's not true. But we've all seen these. I'm talking about ancient plows. I'm not talking about the motorized carts where air conditioned. They have a bar in them and everything else. You think it's funny? Let me tell you a story. This has nothing to do with my talk, but I'm just going to tell you a story. When I was working up in the Senate, there was a senator there who was a farmer of a massive farm, and he had literally a huge tractor, air conditioned, television, bar. Everything was in this tractor. And I thought, man, things have changed, But anyway, let's think back. Let's think back about the ancient plows. Here these guys are. They're holding this little cart. You picture this cart with this thing digging along, and there's some kind of a mule or something pulling it in front of it. And that's the way it is. Now, how does someone plow? Think about it now. How does someone plow? When a person plows, they look straight ahead, right? They look to a fixed point, to a goal. Because if they don't look to a fixed point or a goal, they're going to go way off track. They're going to be all over the lot. That's not the point. But they have something in mind, and that's what keeps them going. But it takes them a while to get to that point. Because it's slow. Real old ancient plowing, it's slow work and it's arduous work, okay? And in fact, it's long after the plowing is finished that they even see the results. Because all they get from the plowing is a bunch of little holes in the ground or little furrows in the ground. That's all they get. But they're plowing for a purpose so that they can see the seed grow and flourish and so on. Now, looking at the goal as a believer, when we look at the goal of Yeshua and his calling on our lives, it keeps us on track. You see? Our job is to look at him, and then his job is to keep us on track. Right? You see, we keep our eyes fixed on him who's the author and perfecter of our faith, and then he keeps us on track. It's not up to us. All we have to do is what? Keep on plowing. Right? That's all he has to do. He's not going to plow for you, folks. He's going to keep you on track if you have your eyes fixed on him, but you got to do the plowing. You're the one that's got to push the cart or carry the cart along and let it dig into the ground and so on. And, plowing is arduous. It's tough, but it's reality. But if you don't keep plowing, you're not going to see the results. If the farmer gives up and says, man, this is too tough, guess what happens, folks? There's no crops. That's the bottom line. And so, this is the issue. In this game that we call the kingdom of God, the results don't depend on you. The results depend on the Lord. You know what does? It's the plowing. You see, that's what depends on us. We've got to keep plowing. The scripture says, he who's going to follow me must put his hands to the plow and not look back. You look back, you get off track. You look back, you get discouraged. You look back, you fall away. But if you keep your hands to the plow and don't look back, you're going to keep on going because he's going to keep you there. He's going to keep you straight. This is my word to you as we close. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. If you're in the wrong place, God is going to show you. You don't have to worry about it. If you've gotten off track, God can show you. He showed Abraham, he showed Moses, he showed Joseph, he showed all of the great men and women of God throughout the histories of the scriptures, and they all went off track at some point in time. God was faithful to do it. But if you're not in the wrong place, you know what? He may not show you anything. In fact, if he doesn't show you anything, you probably ought to be encouraged because it means you're not in the wrong place. Okay? And what he wants you to do is to do what? Keep on plowing through the dog days of summer. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Father, we thank you for Yeshua, Lord, who's paid the price for us, Lord God. Father, that we don't have to do it. Lord, that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, Lord, that you're the one that we keep our eyes on, Lord God, that you're the one that keeps us going. You keep us strength. You strengthen us from within. And Lord, we thank you for everything that Yeshua has done. But Lord, I just pray in the name of Yeshua right now, I just pray for anybody in here that has been giving up, that has been just saying, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to turn back. The Lord's saying to you, don't give up. Put your hands to the plow. Don't look back, folks. The Lord's speaking to you, don't give up. Hold on. Yeshua is there. He's coming. And if you don't know him, let me just challenge you. Just keep your eyes closed. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't know Yeshua as Messiah, what a great opportunity, what a great time to get to know him who can make your life right. It's so easy to know Yeshua. All you have to do is say that you can't make it on your own, that God has provided a way for you to make it, and that's through Yeshua, the Messiah. He's the one that forgives your sins. He's the one who died on the cross for you. He's the one who raised from the dead so that you might know the power of God and his eternal life and forgiveness and live an abundant life. This is what God has offered to you. All you have to do is say, yes, I want to receive Yeshua. I want to believe. I want what God has for me. And for everyone else here that knows the Lord, I say to you, don't give up. The Lord is on your side. Turn to the Lord now and repent for turning your backs on God and ready to give up and say, Lord, I'm ready to put my hand back to the plow and say yes to you and to follow you the rest of my life. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.